Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Jonathan Buffalino is an Australian vocalist, producer, and multi-instrumentalist. He breaks the boundaries of soul and funk by fusing it with psychedelia, hip-hop, rock, and jazz. Jonathan continues to cut his teeth in and around Melbourne, and he has managed to perform for audiences at some of the city's most prestigious venues, such as the Paris Cat, the Jazz Lab, and the Gasometer Hotel. At a young age of 19, Jonathan has been mentored by some of Melbourne's leading soul and R&B acts, such as Shannon Wick of Fulton Street and many more. In addition to this, he has also worked with Grammy Award-winning artist and songwriter Kendra Foster. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Jonathan Buffalino. Today, so where in the world are you and how are you doing?
Thanks for having me. I'm in Melbourne, Australia, and I'm doing great. So excited to be here.
Lovely. So thank you for your time. And so just a rewind, at what age did you feel cool? You want to be in the creative space, the music world, the creative industry. And how did that journey progress to where we are?
Yeah, so I started singing when I was about 9 years old. But music has always really resonated with me. I've always been a very creative person. I just still love it to this day.
So what were the next steps? So you started singing at, you said, age 9. So then were in school, were you doing plays or creating music then, or did that only start after school?
Yeah, so I started creating and writing my own music when I was about 12, 13. Okay. I was still in school, but you've got to start somewhere. It wasn't the greatest, but I've grown since then, and I think my music's pretty good now.
From 0 to 3 to 4 minutes in creating a song, what motivates it? What invigorates it? Let's unpack your creative brain.
Well, I guess a lot of other creatives might feel inspired by maybe events in their own life or things that are going on that they feel motivated to write about specifically. I'm more motivated by other artists, like listening to people that I'm influenced by and this song is really, it just really resonates with me, or I really love this song, so I want to try to capture that same vibe or that same feeling that I feel when listening to it. I want people to feel that when they listen to my music. So then I'll kind of create the music. I'll start usually on guitar, work the track up in Logic Pro X, which is my favorite software to use. And then I'll kind of work my the melody and try to figure out something that works well with the music, and then kind of just make some random words up, some gibberish, until something kind of shows itself that has potential to be good, and then I flesh that out, and the rest is history, I guess.
Okay, so you reference a feeling when song. So I'm not sure if you're aware of NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming. So that's the way people process information. And there's this subsection within it whereby they focus on three elements. So each of us have a dominant one, a secondary one, and a tertiary one. Something kicks in as young children, which we think, okay, this is how we're going to process information. So when we say dominant, means that you're in it for most of the day, your secondary maybe for a couple of hours, and your tertiary, maybe half an hour, if at all. And it's all situational. So there are three of them. You've got visual people. So they create information. So they process information by creating pictures of what they're hearing. Auditory people, it's about the words, about the sentences and understanding those and then processing through that way. Kinesthetic people. So kinesthetic. They process information through the body language, the tone of voice, the energy, the emotion, and the feeling. Now, focusing specifically on music, not other aspects in your life, when you're listening to music by others, as you referenced, are you creating pictures? Is it about the words or is it about the feeling? And you mentioned that earlier, so that's why I'm asking this question. Is it about the feeling?
Yeah, it's definitely about the feeling for me. And I guess that might be common with, well, I find it common with a lot of my friends who are also musicians, that they also really value the feeling, which I guess is kind of the whole spirit of what music is about. It's about, creating a feeling. It's being entertaining or whatever it may be, having something relatable. So for me, I definitely connect with the feeling and how things feel. Yeah, for sure.
And when you're listening to songs by the artists, are you able to relax and just listen for what it is, or is your creative brain unpacking what they've created?
I think my creative brain definitely can't switch off. It's always working, even subtly, if it's not the dominant thing that's going on. It's always working in the background, thinking about what's
Okay.
going on.
So a couple of points that I'd like your observations, perceptions of. I ask these questions to most of the people, artists I speak to. I love me a CD. I love the aesthetic of the holding of something. I love the journey of the choice, the receiving, the unpacking, listening to song from one to whatever number. I'm not sure if you're aware that vinyls are on a massive comeback. Last year alone, 5.9 million sales, the biggest since 1990. Cassettes on upwards again, and CDs. In fact, again in the UK, they've got a basket of products where they put gauges. They exchange these products for tax purposes. Vinyls have been in that basket, but now because of the upsurge of CDs again, they've been put back into that basket. But then we also have the streaming platforms that people consume music on. So, what are your observations and perceptions of the landscape at the moment?
I mean, as someone that's pretty much grown up, I'm pretty young, I'm 19, so I've grown up pretty much just all in the digital age, and I don't know firsthand anything other than streaming platforms, maybe CDs a little bit, but I mean, I love vinyls, I love cassettes. I have a collection of vinyls myself, and it's definitely my favorite way to listen to music and consume music. I'm a big believer in albums. I think that hasn't been something that's been popular as of recently. It's very like single focused, which isn't necessarily bad. It's just different. But I love albums, things that work coherently together, as tell the story from start to finish, maybe some transitions. So I think when listening to vinyl or cassettes or CDs and something like that, it really definitely lends itself to that style of music. Yeah, I'm definitely a fan of those old school mediums.
Now, what do you enjoy about performing live?
Just seeing people's joy on their face, and being able to bring that in person, I think is really, really special. I mean, I love it as well. I'd probably say I have to enjoy it more than being in the studio, and recording and writing. Really, at the end of the day, for me, I get to play with other musicians, other like-minded people, and the audience gets something out of it as well. They get a show that they enjoy, so it's really enjoyable all the way around for everyone.
So again, another point of discussion around this. I'm normally that guy right up in front, dancing, jamming, doing my thing. I'll take my cell
Yeah.
phone out for maybe a couple of songs, a couple of photos, and I put my phone away. But I notice these days, a lot of times people are filming, tweeting, posting for a lot of times the show. From the person on the stage seeing that, and you reference seeing people's faces, does it bother you seeing a bunch of phones in front of faces, or it's just where society is at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, it is where society's at the moment, and I get the intention behind having a phone. You want to capture the moment and come back to it, or you want to support the artist that's on stage. So I get the mentality behind it, but it is quite frustrating because I do want people to be in the moment and, kind of see what's going on in front of them with their own eyes and not through a screen. So I can get both sides of it, but as an artist, I do it does bother me a little bit, yeah.
And now coming up, you've got exposure with the Prince of Genre. So you performed at the first one, performing again. So for the listeners who do not know, what is exposure?
Yeah, so I performed at the first one, which was in 2021, I believe.
Wait, so were
It's
you like 13 or 14 then?
I would have been, yeah, six, 15 or 16, I
Oh,
think.
okay, cool. Got it.
Yeah, and I guess what it is just about getting up and coming artists performing on stage. It's about networking. It's about ex getting experience and I guess as the name suggests, exposure, getting your face out there, your music out there. And it's a really, really great event. I've been to every single one, and it's just gotten better since the first one, and it's going to continue to get better. And I'm really keen to perform with this next one.
And how many songs does each artist perform?
So it's roughly a 15-minute set. So I guess that depends how long the songs are. But for me, I like jamming the songs out. I like long performances. So maybe three songs. We'll see.
For the listeners, that's going to be happening on 31st of August of 2024, but it's an annual event. Jonathan, so, and what else is coming up for the rest of the year?
I'm actually working on my own original music at the moment. I've got an album hopefully in the works. So I've kind of been staying a little bit quiet on the performing side, but yeah, an album is in the works and hopefully will be released sometime next year. But yeah, I'm hoping to do more live performances as the year progresses. So
Your perspective on social media.
I mean, it's kind of
Your face. Yes.
a it's kind of a necessity, I guess, in today's society. As a creative, I'm not the biggest fan of it. My heart and my everything lies with the creative, the music side of it. That's
Yes.
really what I fell in love with and why I love music so much. So, the marketing side of it and the social media side of everything is not really something that I excel in or that I enjoy. But I mean, it's got to be done. It's something that it just is what it is, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah. I love this game. I know if I had to ask this question in 2 minutes, 10 years, 50 hours, I know your answer will be different every time, simply because there are millions of them. I understand that and I recognize that. I'm not saying favorite, I'm saying top of mind. If you had to push play to five songs by other artists once you finish this conversation, what would those five songs be about?
One of my favorites at the moment is a song called Chocolate, By the Time. How Does It Feel by D'Angelo? Baby, I'm a Star by Prince. These last two.
Yeah, this is normally when it gets difficult.
Yeah. The three were like, okay, I've got three at the top of my mind. Poet by Sly and the Family Stone. And Machine Gun by Jimi Hendrix.
It's interesting. You've referenced quite a lot of older artists and older tracks. So, as you said earlier, that you're 19 years old. So, how did you discover these different bands and different artists from the, previously? Was it through rabbit hole, through family? How did you discover and learn to love these various artists?
Yeah, so it's kind of a mixture of rabbit hole and family, I guess. I grew up on a lot of 90s kind of R&B hip hop. That was kind of what my mom was always spinning in the house and listening to while she's cleaning or whatever she's doing. And so that's kind of what I initially really gravitated towards as a musician. And just kind of as I've matured, that kind of led its way into the soul music of the 90s. And then I really fell in love with D'Angelo, and he's got to be my favorite artist of all time. And in falling in love with his music and trying to make my own music that gives the same, we come back to the feeling, giving the same feeling
Yes.
as his did. I kind of wanted to seek what he sought, see what it was that inspired him. So that's when I went back and saw that, he was inspired by Prince. He was inspired by Sly and the Family Stone and Funkadelic and James Brown, and Stevie Wonder and all these amazing older artists from 60s, 70s, 80s, and I kind of just stuck there. That's just kind of what I've landed on, and that's where my musical brain is at the moment.
And is your genre that you create and perform in a similar?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of genres, I guess a lot of artists, I guess, don't want to be put into a box, myself
Yes.
included.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, of course, but yeah, if we had to say what kind of style, it's definitely that kind of R&B, funk, soul. But I mean, yeah, my music has got elements of plenty of different stuff. It's got rock, it's got some psychedelic, jazz influence, blues. I guess it's just a big mixing pot of bunch of different stuff, electronic, just
And the album that you referenced earlier, how far along are you in the creation process? Just the beginning, or you've got a theme or ideas? Where are we at?
So the tracks are all done. They're all just in a demo. They're in a demo stage, but yeah, they're all demoed out, and hoping to get those probably done sometime soon.
Okay, so you referenced demos. So the people or listeners who do not know, who are not in the industry, what does a demo mean in the musical world? And why is that not released?
Yeah, so I guess a demo is something that you would create in the writing process. For me, at least, something I would create in the writing process to just capture the idea, capture the vibe that I'm looking for. And it's, yeah, basically just to capture a vibe and almost to not waste time when you have real studio time. You know what you're coming to do, you know what you're recording and what all the parts are. So I guess that's the purpose of it. And the reason why you wouldn't maybe release it is because it's not intended to be released. So the quality might be lesser. Me personally, I really love the sound of demos. I think they're really true and sincere and raw, and that's something that I value in my own music. Yeah, I guess it just depends on the style.
So, I mean, if you look at the word demo, I'm sure it's short for demonstration. So it's a demonstration of what's to come. Jonathan, so the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
My final message would be peace and love.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.